Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. Trump White House official Peter Navarro found guilty yesterday of contempt of Congress charges for refusing to cooperate with a congressional investigation into the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. His immediate reaction with reporters before turning things over to his lawyers outside the courthouse.
This is nuts. So what I want to try to do here is have an interesting discussion about what just happened. That's what you all want to know. So, Mr. Raleigh, have at it, my friend.
Apple releasing a significant security update for iPhones and iPads yesterday to patch a newly discovered security weakness in the device's system software. The issue, apparently a software flaw being actively exploited to deliver commercial spyware called Pegasus. To install that update, open Settings on your iPhone, then select General, followed by Software Update. Hurricane Lee has reached Category 5 status. That storm is likely not done strengthening yet. The latest analysis of the megastorm this morning shows Lee has sustained wind speeds of around 165 miles an hour. The latest forecast shows the hurricane will continue to strengthen today and could have winds around 180 tonight. That would make it the strongest system in the Atlantic since Hurricane Dorian in 2019. The maker of an extremely spicy tortilla chip said yesterday it's working to remove the product from stores as Massachusetts authorities investigate the death of a 14-year-old whose family pointed to the one-chip challenge as a contributing factor. The cause of Harris Wolaba's death on September 1st has yet to be determined as an autopsy is pending, but the 14-year-old's family is blaming the challenge. This is USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
A Los Angeles judge has sentenced that 70s show actor Danny Masterson to prison for 30 years to life following his conviction on 2 counts of rape.
On Thursday, the judge heard witness impact statements prior to issuing sentencing. Court reporters noted no particular emotional reaction from Masterson himself. He was convicted earlier this year following an earlier mistrial in his case last December. Masterson's attorneys have already noted their intent to appeal the conviction. Masterson himself has continued to maintain his innocence even after. I'm Ryan Daniels.
A sloppy season opener for the NFL last night. The Detroit Lions took down the Kansas City Chiefs 21-20.
Space, the final frontier.
The world world first met Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock on this day in history, September 8, 1966, with the premiere of the television series Star Trek. Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry wanted to introduce audiences to a world that championed diversity, inclusion, acceptance, and hope. There have now been 11 Star Trek television series, as well as 13 movies. Today, September 8th, is now celebrated worldwide by Trekkies as Star Trek Day. Live long and prosper. I'm Corey Myers, USA News.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're gonna love it. And you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you can check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. Time for James Herson, New York Times best-selling author and legal analyst, who joins us right now. Hey, Mr. James, how are we doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Venus, since, you know, we've got you here, and inquiring legal beagles want to understand what the heck is going on and how many more indictments do we have to look forward to. And, meanwhile, you know, Donald Trump is positioned to be maintained as the number one favorite pinata for the Democratic Party.
Absolutely. Yeah, what a pinata. Yeah, as to your question about how many indictments, obviously it's pretty clear, unlimited amount of indictments and charges, because there's no accountability for the prosecutors misapplying the law and using them for political purposes. Mm-hmm. And when there's no accountability, we all know what happens to power. It becomes absolutely corrupt. And so... for example, there are rumors, and it's more than rumors, there are people speaking out in Arizona, mm-hmm. where there was a questionable election in 2022 from a candidate who didn't campaign, and that candidate is supposedly looking into indictments coming out of Arizona. If Arizona has indictments, there's lots of other, you know, blue states that can come up with more indictments. But it's a situation where very obviously the American public is seeing through it, and partially because exactly. they're overplaying their hand. I mean, the idea that you would go after a former president, which has never been done, and you would indict them for very thin evidenced accusations and ambiguous crimes, and go after people associated with the president on even thinner crimes. In the case of Fulton County, we're talking about 19 people. So what's happening? Well, Donald Trump, I think we can say this safely, he's the only candidate in the history of the world who has been criminally indicted, arrested, mugshotted, and whose poll numbers have gone up, whose ability to get elected in a fair election have gone up. That's not ever happened historically. And I saw a poll that came out very, very recently I thought was very significant. This is from the Associated Press and Ipsos. So these are liberal organizations, where 75% of Americans think that Biden is, quote, too old to hold political office, close quote. Now, we know that when they asked this polling question, what too old meant to those that where the survey was taken from, they're thinking about what they've seen, these embarrassing gaffes and gaps and strange utterances that have come out of Joe Biden ever since he first was sworn into office.
Exactly.
And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So what people are saying is 75%, that's a very high number, think he's unfit for office. What kind of political party would run a candidate where 75% of the electorate think he's unfit? That is a party that no longer believes in the electorate and no longer believes in the very word they're constantly enunciating, democracy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just like you said, to your point, they feel like regardless, I mean, if they could put up Joe Biden, I mean, they proved it with Fetterman, it doesn't matter. Just give a D. Put a D up there, and they've got the ballots. They know how to work the machinations in such a way to, you know, stay in control. And this is where the Republicans and conservatives have to realize that this, in a sense, is a death match, isn't it, James? I mean, I don't think the Constitutional Republic exists with another 4 years of the DNC in control.
Well, it already is, in the ICU. Yeah, there's no question it can't survive that. And we hear now, it's something that we almost have tried to suppress from our memory, and that is the lockdowns,
yes,
the mandates, the protocols that were forced down people's throats. And there's all this talk now of bringing it all back. And so I have an article that's going up.
Yeah, but even much more, though, James, bringing it all back under the control of the WHO. Because Biden has been working out this deal with 162 other nations who have signed this document saying that in the case of a pandemic, that the WHO's policies would reign supreme. So forget about America's sovereignty. We're now going to buckle our knee to the WHO, a communist-run organization that, at the end of the day, when you look back of how they handled the pandemic previously, there is nothing of any good and positive withdrawal that you can take from the WHO's leadership to say, man, I'm sure glad they're in control, right?
Yeah, really. I mean, they have no credibility. And the fact is, Biden can sign any international document he wants, but the Constitution says it's not legal. That's a treaty. The WHO is a treaty. A treaty is not legal until ratified by two-thirds of the Senate, which, of course, hasn't been done. So that document is totally illicit, and if WHO mandates come down, I would pray that somehow the appellate courts and even the Supreme Court gets to rule and reinforce that part of our Constitution.
But do you realize, though, James, because the way this administration has been working is that, they blow up the Constitution and they'll wait until the courts, down the road, maybe 12, 18 months later, deals with it. So what? Right?
No, they're
doing
the
damage that has been imposed has just been, unconscionable.
Well, and that's why people are urging the Republican Party to step up and to use the powers that they do have, which they're not, to the full, it's not being used pedal to the metal, nothing like that. But I have a piece I've written called Children of the Lockdown.
I love that.
Where I took a look at just what happened to kids during the lockdown, psychologically, emotionally. I didn't look at their health, but I'm just looking at it psychologically. And it is just staggering the amount of studies from all over the world that show that the impact that lockdowns had on the mental health of children and adolescents. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, there's three doctors during the time of the lockdowns, one from Harvard, one from Oxford, one from Stanford. They put together a document called the Great Barrington Declaration. These three people were basically warning, hey, our kids are going to get hurt. We got to get them back in school.
James, let's do this. I want to give you more time to talk about it. We got to go to quick break. We'll pick it up from there on the other side. More from James Hurston after this. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
It was your best vacation ever. You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, "Hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life?" And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
As
promise, we're back with you 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. James Hurston continues with us, New York Times best-selling author, media and legal analyst. James, you were talking about the great Barrington document. Pick it up from there. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me. Basically, the writers of this, all credentialed, one from Harvard, one from Oxford, from Stanford, put together data and said, hey, we're hurting the children. And what happened? They were all smeared. They were all basically censored. And the reason we know one of them, his name is Dr. J. Bhattacharya. Mm-hmm. Dr. J. is a guy that has a PhD and an MD, is a professor at Stanford. He's published 135 articles. The guy is as credentialed as you can be. Well, because of Elon Musk, when we saw the Twitter files, we found out that this doctor and professor at Stanford, his social media accounts were systematically banned.
Mm-hmm.
He was a victim of high-tech suppression, and he was right. These other guys were wrong, we now know. And we know it also from looking to Sweden, who didn't lock down, and their children are healthier. And they actually did better than the countries that did lock down. We're talking about a pretty strong control group. Mm-hmm. But as I said, we've got these studies from all over the world, and we're talking about things that actually can never be made up. Kids, young children lost ability to communicate. They lost their level of speech and comprehension. The very little ones. And, you know, suicides went up, depression went up. And here are these supposed leaders now. They're talking about reinstituting mandates, reinstituting over this new strain that's been found that I saw somebody on social media called it BS247 is the number here that this person used, which maybe it is appropriate, maybe not, but this scaremongering got to the point where the President of the United States said, well, you know, I'm ready to recommend new booster shots for everyone 6 months and older. Okay, so that's also... I guess the good news is that many people have paid attention, and they know that what the mainstream media told them through their television set was incorrect, wrong. They know that what their leaders told them was wrong, and they also know that this is coinciding with an election season.
Exactly. We've seen this monkey before, right?
We've seen the monkey, we've seen the movie.
Yes.
And to relive this, you know, heaven forbid.
Yeah.
Because
we're going to give credibility to a feeble-minded chief executive officer, President of the United States, and Joe Biden to make some sort of medical recommendation, right?
Yeah, I mean, him and then that other guy, that great Dr. Bill Gates.
Oh,
you know,
that
medical expert Bill Gates, who is constantly trotted out on places like MSNBC as someone who has our best interests at heart.
So where's Dr. Fauci at this point? Is they're keeping him in the green room until the appropriate time to release him out of his cage, or what?
Well, he's supposedly retired, but, you know, Dr. Fauci, I think he can be persuaded to come out of his retirement because he loves the lens. Mm-hmm. He loves the media. But they have somebody else now they have these people that sort of pop up. But, you know, there was a credible report that Dr. Fauci, along with Collins, put several hundred million dollars in the bank during the period where they were telling us, you know, protocols and what therapies that we could and couldn't use. And that several hundred million was in the form of royalties.
Royalties, exactly. Yeah.
From pharmaceutical companies, mainly Moderna, I believe, but not positive. But point is, their credibility should be close to zero. And yet, this mindless, you know, complicit media just repeats whatever they say like it's gospel.
No, they're not helping us. You know, that's for sure. I mean, we're supposed to have a free press so that they can protect us, you know, from a totalitarian government. But unfortunately, they've jumped ship. They have become partners with this totalitarian government. We no longer trust them. This is why, you know, their followership, their subscription base has deteriorated to the levels that it has, James. You know, you and I, when we were growing up, at one point, the mainstream media, the three networks, the powerful networks, NBC, CBS, and ABC, commanded 85% of the viewing audience. Today, it's less than 50%.
Oh, it's just, there's been a media revolution, and a watershed event took place when Tucker Carlson interviewed Donald Trump. At the same night of the debate. The interview, the last I looked, it was about 260 million views. It is the most watched media event in the history of man. And it would not have happened but for the fact that Fox News and the RNC made things so unpleasant for President Trump that he just decided to take a pass smartly.
Don't you love competition and alternatives like that? And I know, you know, Fox and others are twisting themselves in all kinds of contortions to try to, you know, say, well, you know, 260 million on the internet is not the same as, you know, 12.8 million viewers, you know, on television. Well,
it's not. No, it's not the same. It's much, much more powerful, much, much greater. And yes. And it's, well, it's, and it's really, we have Elon Musk in great part. We you know, even though he's not perfect, and he's got his CEO in there that's not perfect, but he's opened up a platform to the point where we have this alternative platform. But also the people that are running Rumble, for example, which is now starting to get not quite YouTube level, but it's getting closer. It seems like every week. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened is, much like the period where, yeah, you recall there was a media monopoly, cable is declining. Broadcast, when it comes to news and information, is declining. And podcast and streaming and talk radio and independent journalism is thriving. We just have to use to pray for discernment and be careful when we go into those arenas. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a new media revolution that's that is going to play a big part in saving this country when we eventually turn it around.
Yeah, exactly. And it's incumbent upon a free press, to your point here, James. And this is what all Americans must embrace in order for us to have, you know, free everything, free elections, fair elections. You must have a free press. And it is compromised, no doubt. And, you know, we can thank, as you say, Elon Musk and other, you know, podcasters, other independent outlets like ours. And, you know, we're doing a daily TV show podcast every day, Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. And it is carried live on YouTube right now. I don't know how much longer it will be because they like to censor things. And, you know, but, we'll, you know, we'll figure it out. You know, right now we're with YouTube. And we may find another, but, you know, it's not on YouTube, but there's like a 100+, you know, podcast channels, James, that are involved. James Hurston, New York Times bestselling author and legal analyst, has been our guest. James, thank you so much. As always, appreciate it. Godspeed, my friend.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. That's 800-890-7088.
USA News Update. Trump White House official Peter Navarro found guilty yesterday of contempt of Congress charges for refusing to cooperate with a congressional investigation into the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Apple releasing a significant security update for iPhones and iPads yesterday to patch a newly discovered security weakness in the device's system software. The issue apparently is that the software flaw is being actively exploited to deliver commercial spyware called Pegasus. Hurricane Lee has strengthened into a Category 5 storm. That storm is likely not done strengthening yet. The latest analysis of the megastorm this morning shows Lee has sustained wind speeds of around 165 miles an hour, and it is expected to get winds around 180. Corey Myers, USA News.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.
Welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us. We're going to be joined by Dr. Neil Shenai and Dr. Patrick Sawyer in just a moment. Their new book, Critical Dilemma, The Rise of Critical Theories and Social Justice Ideology. The authors share how these contemporary critical theories have invaded government, education, churches, even homes. The confusion, division, use semantics, and outright cultural upheaval are baffling to those who don't know what's behind these worldviews. Neil and Patrick, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Bill. Great to be here. So much.
Good. Did I say your last name correctly? It's Shenvi.
Shenvi.
Yeah, Shenvi. Oh, okay. All right. Good. I just realized I had an error in my typing here, so I left out the V for victory, but Shenvi is back in there. All right, let me start with you. So why do you think the ideas at the heart of the woke movement are so dangerous?
Well, there are a number of reasons. The first and foremost is that they function like a worldview, a way to view all of reality. And so because of that, they compete with Christianity, which is also a worldview, a way to view
yes.
all of our lives. So you can't really have two worldviews. You're going to have to choose one or the other. And we're seeing that in the church and in culture where people are drawn to critical theory and wokeness over Christianity. And then second is a problem with what we see as the biggest problem in our lives, whether it's oppression or sin. Is it primarily out there in culture and systems, or is it in here in my heart? I think we also see division. You know, critical theory divides people into oppressed and oppressors. And therefore, it's going to divide the church as Christians begin to see each other not as brothers and sisters in Christ, but as members of various conflicting demographic groups. then there we go through many other reasons in our book as well.
You know, Dr. Sawyer, I find it, you know, quite interesting that, you know, our culture is so upended based on theories. I mean, these are theories. I mean, somebody just, you know, in an academic coffee clutch got together and got in their silos and were throwing ideas back around. And now here we are having to deal with, you know, with the danger of thought. So it really just says something about the culture itself and it not being prepared to be able to handle, as Neil pointed out, you know, a differing worldview.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. I think one thing that we want to keep in mind, too, is that critical social theory germinates certainly in the context of the academy. But what we are seeing in culture are downstream from those ideas and often morphed iterations of the academic ideas in terms of critical social theory. So we can see extreme forms, you know, that we would define perhaps as woke perspective and ideology in our culture. But it's important for us to see how those ideas came to be on the ground, you know, in our break rooms or in the, you know, when we're at the soccer game talking to, you know, our friends and people there. How did those ideas get to where they are on the ground in culture? And what our book will help people see is, okay, so let's back this up. Let's go to the fountainhead of where these ideas came from. And now we'll have a better understanding of what the ideas are about and then also how to deal with them, how to interact with them and how to challenge them ultimately where they're off and where they're distinct and different from, you know, biblical epistemology.
Yeah. Neil, as you pointed out, I mean, this is a battle for truth. And, you know, they're so disingenuous, those who bring up these theories, because basically it's our God against their God, right?
In some ways, I mean, I think in our book we point out there are often aspects of truth that are embedded in these theories, and so that's why they're attractive, right? If someone comes to you with nothing but lies, saying things like the sky is purple and, you know, 2 + 2 = 7, you're going to ignore them. But these theories come to you with elements of truth, saying things like, well, racism exists today. Of course it does. Yes. It's a bad thing. Yes, it is. But then they use that as an entry point to get you hooked on other bad ideas. So we want to separate out the wheat from the chaff and say, hey, here's the elements of truth that they're capturing, and yet they're tacking them on to really false and dead ideologies that will not accomplish what they claim to. They're not going to help you solve racism and sexism and injustice. They're only going to make these things worse. And so we're trying to, again, help people parse these theories to understand what's true about them and then ultimately what's deeply false so that they can push back and say, no, this is what God says about things like race, class, gender, sexuality. And then let that be the guiding, the sort of the guidelines for how we deal with these issues in culture.
Well, and the thing is, Patrick, you know, as Neil just points out, you have this conflict, you know, kind of the understanding of, you know, meaning of words, you know, social injustice, okay? And that would be, I think, a secular perspective and proposition, but you've got to put it up against, you know, again, in the conflicting worldviews. Either we're going to have a biblical worldview or we're going to have a secular worldview. So how does social injustice, how is it reconciled, or how does it conflict with biblical justice?
Well, I think, Bill, you're bringing up a good point in terms of terms. You know, terms have been weaponized and terms have been redefined, and it's important to think about terms like oppression or social justice, like you're referencing here, or white supremacy, or, you know, heteronormativity. These words that are being thrown around, white fragility, it's very important that we understand what the secular viewpoint of those terms connected to progressive political and cultural ideology, what those terms are meaning in context, and then also take a look at those terms and see if there are any applications relative to a biblical understanding of those terms. And then we've got to make sure that we're thinking properly in terms of how those words are being defined biblically. And I think that those distinctions will help us in terms of navigating what we're seeing in culture relative to this language. And I think that part of what critical social theory is attempting to do is somewhat nefarious, because the power of language is something that is a reality across all societies at all times. And so if you begin to manipulate language, then at that point you really start to lead and impact people. And so, for instance, pedophilia is a term that we understand relative to the typical person in culture, that we're dealing with an adult and sexual activity with a child. And so that term pedophilia has a lot of embedded angst and immorality associated with it. Well, the ideas that are permeating in our culture relative to critical social theory and woke ideology wants to change that kind of thinking, pedophilia, to a term like minor attracted persons.
Right.
And so we want to change someone who is a pedophile. Now the language is they are a minor attracted person. Mm-hmm. And so that is a scandal in terms of language. And that is something that is, as believers and as Christians and even people who aren't Christians that are concerned about these ideas, need to be dialed into.
Neil, why can't we just say no? I'm not going to accept your word for it. I'm not going to use MAP in lieu of pedophilia. And the thing is, and I get it, I mean, because what has happened is these minorities, you know, with these minority opinions come off very strong, and they're like bullies. And they're bullying their way through, and of course they'll get some attorneys that will, you know, get you in court, get you fired, get you in trouble because, you know, you abuse their pronoun or whatever else they want to dictate. But I think sometimes we make it matter more than it should.
Yeah, I think it's easier when they just use a different word. You say, I refuse to use your word. It's more insidious when they take a word that we want to use, like justice or oppression, and use that word but change its meaning. So,
yes.
You know, if you ask someone, are you anti-justice? You say, no, I'm pro-justice. Oh, well, they change the definition now. So they have to be more careful there, and our book will help you to see that shell game where they're switching the definition on you.
Yeah, exactly. Because words do matter. Yes, go ahead, Patrick.
And Bill, I would add, think of the term white supremacy. That historically has meant white nationalist groups pushing for a white ethno-state and hardcore prejudice and racism against people of color. Well, now that term is being conflated to white majoritarianism. That if you've got a setting where 75% of the people in a McDonald's happen to be white, that now sometimes...
We got to go to break. We'll pick it up on the other side.
On nearly all your prescription drugs. We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance. And in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs. So whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A+ BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold ship to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
We're back with you. Our conversation continues with Dr. Neil Chevney and Dr. Patrick Sawyer. Patrick, I want to pick up where we left off. Go ahead.
Well, we were talking about the weaponization of words and the change of definitions, and I was just mentioning that that term white supremacy is one of those terms. White supremacy historically has been associated with white nationalist groups, white power groups like the Ku Klux Klan and so forth, and Patriot Front. Where we're dealing with hardcore racism. And now white supremacy has morphed to where it's being conflated with white majoritarianism, a white majority. For instance, if a McDonald's has 75% people that are in it that happen to be white, certain woke perspectives will say, well, that's a white supremacist space. And so the implication there in terms of white supremacy in most people's minds is that there's been a moral breach. But in the context of that McDonald's, just because it's majority white in terms of who's sitting in there, that doesn't mean that there's been a moral issue that's taken place or something that's negative or wrong. And so our book will help people see the distinctions around how terms ought to be defined and understood relative to reason and relative to biblical thinking.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you happen to be in an area that is predominantly white, or maybe that's the demographic breakdown, you're going to have more white people there, just like if you go to a McDonald's where there's more black people in a zip code that services that community. You could think just the opposite, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's right. There is a majoritarian, quote-unquote, privilege, quote-unquote, but it's just it's not wrong. It's just a fact of demographics. It's not, no one's out to get you. I think that's part of it. The problem with critical race theory is it makes everyone hypersensitive to race when it should not, certainly for Christians, should not be a primary factor in how we evaluate our brothers and sisters in Christ or even anyone.
Exactly. You know. But that's the point of it all, isn't it? It's to divide us, not to bring us together. There's no sense of unity. I mean, this is to disturb the force in such a way to where we can be more malleable, because this is a consistent plan that has been used historically in which to break up the people groups so they can be easily controlled.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we bring out in our book is just talking about how critical theorists would say that they're not creating division. They're just highlighting division that's already there. But we would say, no, you're actually creating division, especially for Christians who are already united with other Christians on the basis of their imago Dei. We're all made in God's image.
Exactly.
Two, we're all sinners. And three, we all have the same Savior. So a At the core of Christianity are these fundamental doctrines of human solidarity, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so inevitably, these critical social theories drive walls and drug wedges between people that ought to be united.
And Bill, partly what you're getting to is the notion of identity politics. Mm-hmm. And so the scholarship and the literature that we review, some of it will be very overt and very plain and very obvious in their indication that they're pro-identity politics. And that you see that in some of Robin DiAngelo's work, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so if we've got an identity politics mindset relative to our culture, then division will be a feature of that. And so Christianity is working against that. We're all sinners. If we're not saved, we're all sinners. We're all in this together. We're all created with the Imago Dei. And then when we, as Neil said, as we get converted and we come to Christ, now we're all brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
And that division now has been reconciled. And so
see, this is where I go back to. Exactly. This is where I go back to what I said at the onset, and that is it's our God against their God. Their small g God. I mean, their ruling power that they think. And, this has been a battle going back to the Garden of Eden. So it just continues. It just is displayed in a different way because we know the counterfeit, the evil one, you know, disguises himself. And now here it is. This is just another disguise. We're talking about their new book, Critical Dilemma, The Rise of Critical Theories and Social Justice Ideology, the implications for the church and society. Neil, how did you and Patrick get together on this?
Just providentially, years ago, we met over an interest in apologetics. So I became a Christian in graduate school, and I wrote a book called Why Believers years ago on just, you know, basic arguments for why Christianity is true. I have a science background, so that helped me relate to intellectuals. But, you know, over the last 5 years, we've both grown concerned about these critical theories. You know, I was totally new to this, but Pat has a PhD in education and cultural studies. So he really shaped my reading and writing on the subject. And, yeah, we decided that the church was really, you know, getting infiltrated and influenced by these unbiblical ways of thinking. So we kind of teamed up to work on it.
And Patrick, this is the idea, the way you lay this out, is that I think you're revealing to the church that you've got the authority, you've got the standing in which to overcome this and to, you know, clarify things, do you not?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we are strong believers in 2 Corinthians 10:5, that we're to take every thought captive unto Christ. And so there's nothing new under the sun. So there's no idea, there's no perspective that might seem really enlightened or really, something that is elusive to understand. So since it's elusive, we think, oh, wow, it must be really special, some kind of special knowledge. We don't need to be concerned about any of that ultimately, because God is the God of knowledge. It's something that's ultimately true. It doesn't matter its first or secondary epistemological location. If it's ultimately true, it's because it is God's truth. And so we can bring this to bear on all these ideas, and God can give us illumination around them, and he does in his word.
Mm-hmm. Neil, I see this in part that the society is, it's like God's rope-a-doping him and just letting them punch themselves out and getting weary and worn out over all this, pretzel logic that they try to employ. But this is why the church needs to stand strong and know what to do with it and know how to resist it, as Patrick was saying earlier. Because as people of faith, you know, we've got the goods. You know, as the Bible says, having done all to stand, you keep standing, right?
Yeah, and in the book, we do explain first why critical theories attracted so many people. You know, why do they fall for this stuff? And the answer is because, well, many reasons, but one is that gives them a sense of righteousness. They feel like they're on the right side of history. They feel like they're pure and good, not like those bigots and those awful people over there. And so that's, we have this craving. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden covered themselves to cover their nakedness. We all have that craving to be righteous and good, because we know we're not. And they're seeking to fulfill that craving in the wrong way. As Christians, we can say, no, we have the right way. You can be covered in Christ's righteousness.
Exactly.
And rather than showing them, just saying, oh, you're drinking poison, that's true, but also here's where you can find bread.
Right. You know, Patrick, Neil brings up a good point, and that is, just like with Adam and Eve, who told you were naked?
Yeah, Yeah, right. I think that...
that's the thing. I mean, it's like you get into this realm, okay, of self-righteousness, like Neil was breaking down here, and you think, well, who told you that?
I mean, ultimately, you have to, you know, lean into God in terms of that understanding.
Yes. Yeah, I just think that's a powerful point. In the book, Critical Dilemma, you say it's important, you know, for us to focus on ideas rather than labels. Break that down, if you will.
So what we've noticed in the last few years even is that when you use one label, they'll just change the label and repackage the same ideas. And it's the ideas are what matter, not the labels you use. So, for example, when you say, well, you know, cultural Marxism is bad, they'll say, well, this isn't cultural Marxism, it's critical theory. Well, critical theory is bad. Well, this isn't critical theory, this is critical race theory. Well, critical race theory, then. They just play this endless shell game. So what's important then for us is to say, well, forget the label you use, whether you want to call it woke or critical theory or cultural Marxism. Let's just attack the ideas or examine the ideas. And are they true and biblical? And if they're not, and I don't care what you call them, we have to, as Christians, reject them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, and Bill Patrick, Wallace proves it.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, you go ahead.
No, go ahead. Follow up.
I was going to just say, while it's true that there are definite distinctions between historic critical theory and critical race theory and critical pedagogy or woke ideology, there are distinctions between those ideas, those sets of ideas, and so we unpack those. But as Neil is saying, these labels can be just a distraction. Let's get to the actual core ideas underneath the labels and then address them. And we're still finding that these ideas come up wanting when we do that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that kind of frustrates me at times. I got to tell you, Patrick and Neil, is that it's like, what's the point of this? Are we just debating so that somehow, you know, there's a winner? You know, you feel like there's a winner. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in advancing an idea that both of us, as a result of the conversation, can feel that we've increased and advanced our intellect. I mean, shame on me for thinking that. That's... You know, that's kind of my purpose.
One of the things in the book we recommend is, go ahead, Pat.
No, you go ahead. No problem.
I was going to say, as dialogue, you know, for believers, you're committed to the same Jesus and believe the same core doctrines. We want to see Christians talking, actually talking, not having this monologue, but exchanging their ideas and holding them up with an open Bible and saying, which of us is doing what's right and good in God's eyes and which of us is not? And we need more of that. We need more dialogue, not just free-flowing dialogue, but actually dialogue rooted in what Scripture says and committed to conforming our own ideas to the Bible.
And, Bill, we're not just trying to win the argument. We're trying to win the person.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, because that's God's intent. And I think that's with any opportunity that comes into the spectrum and into our orbit here, does that thought, does that idea advance? Does it add or does it take away? Does it? I mean, to me, that's a critical question to ask going into it.
That's right.
I agree.
Well, you guys are awesome. Congratulations on this book. Boy, I highly recommend it, especially for, you know, people of faith, because this is going to bring some clarity and encouragement and help us deal with this, because, as you say, it is quite pervasive throughout our culture today. Dr. Neil Chevney and Dr. Patrick Sawyer have been our guests. Thank you so much for being with us. Take care.
Thank you, Bill.
It's obvious we're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.